Memorizing someone else's explanation of the truth isn't the same as seeing the truth for yourself. It is what it is. The memorization of second-hand knowledge. It is not your experience. It is not your knowledge. And no matter how much material is learned by rote, and no matter how eloquently we can speak about the memorized information, we're clinging to a description of something that's not ours. What's more, the description is never the item itself. By holding on to our impression of certain descriptions, we are frequently unable to see the real thing when it is right before our eyes. We're conditioned by memorizing and believing concepts, the truth of which we've never genuinely seen for ourselves. And this week's opening quote comes from H.E. Davy. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. You know, nothing in the world is really what it seems, folks, and that certainly goes for the political situation, and most especially the world political situation. Nothing is what it seems. Everything is a play, and the masses are subject to so much theatre that it becomes almost impossible to really define what's actually going on. But there certainly is a lot going on. There are huge shifts in power happening, and America is most definitely the focal point at the moment. I mean, America has been much of a focal point for the last couple of decades, but it's really a focal point at the moment for many reasons. And I've been warning many times of the dangers of speaking out against our governments to the point that we undermine them to the point of collapse because of the power vacuum this would create, and how a lot of the truth movement is effectively vilifying their own governments and undermining their own safety by the way they're doing things. I mean, certainly there's a lot wrong with our governments, but the way a lot of the truth movement has been manipulated, it's been done in such a way as to undermine the security of the nations of the people who are speaking out. I mean, most of the people who are speaking out against the American government and the crimes of the American government are, in fact, undermining the stability of their nation by doing so, and they're not looking at what the guiding hand of all this is, because all of the actions of the American government are controlled externally. Most of the actions, the foreign policies of the American government, most of the damage that it does around the world is because of the actions of contributing factors within Israel and the controlling banking interests that live in London and Europe. And on many of the recent broadcasts that I've done, I've suggested to you the fact that America is basically being flushed out to dry. What we are really seeing is the controlled demolition of the United States. America has been portrayed as the villain of the world by various sources. And indeed, many elements within the independent media and truth movement have also vilified the United States and portrayed it as the demon. When really, when you step back and look at things, the United States really is a mechanism. It's been used as a military muscle to bring the New World Order online. But many people think it's going to be America sitting at the top riding the wave of the New World Order, but it's not. America has been used as the military muscle, and now it is about to be imploded. And we are about to see a shift in the balance of power. Well, what is perceived to be a shift in the balance of power? What will be perceived to be a shift in the balance of power anyway? Many people have perceived America to be one of the big controlling hands on the earth. And it really has been quite a powerful force, but ultimately the United States has been controlled by external sources all along. It's simply been used as a military machine to bring the world to the situation that it's in now. And when I say America is about to be imploded and about to be flushed out to dry, it's not exactly going to be destroyed. It's just going to transform. It's going to be merged into an American bloc, an American trade bloc. And this will be done, of course, to help the people, in inverted commas, because by that point the economy will be so decimated that it will need to merge in order to stand as a strong trade partner against the merging that will happen in Europe and in the Middle East, when these merge into the trade blocks that they are merging into. At the moment, we see situations where Israel is pulling support away from the United States in as much as it's strengthening ties with Russia, it's strengthening ties with China. It's basically controlled the United States for so many years now. It's got the United States to go out and fight all of these wars of terror, which have in fact been wars for greater Israel. All of the whole war on terror is a war for Israel. Everything the United States has basically done since World War II, almost all of it, has been wars for Israel. And they've all been wars designed to deplete the United States. And now Israel's got itself in a situation where it can strengthen ties with foreign powers like Russia and China. The West of the world will see Israel as being quite reasonable in doing this because the United States has turned into such a schmozzle. But people don't realize that this has happened by the hand of Israel. And Israel, as it's pulling its support away from the United States and strengthening ties with other nations, it's got itself in a position where it is milking America of $11 million a day in aid. So now it can just basically turn away and do other things and keep that slow bleed happening and bleed the rest of the wealth of the country away and continue to bleed the wealth of the country away. Even if it manages to improve its economy, Israel is still bleeding it of $11 million a day while it's strengthening ties with those that are seen to be the United States' enemies, such as Russia and China. Israel has been failing around the world. A lot of people have been seeing Israel for what it is, and so it is very much attempting to strengthen its ties all around the world. For example, we've recently seen the construction of a new Holocaust memorial in London. And yes, I say Holocaust because the Holocaust was a complete hoax. 6 million Jews did not die in World War II. I know I can get in trouble for saying that, but I have no problem saying it because it is the truth. But while this is happening, the United States is basically being bled dry and the United States is set to implode. And the unfortunate thing is that many of the people within the United States will simply sit back and allow this to happen because they believe it is the end times and they believe that it's all supposed to go down this way. One of the problems with Americans is they have a very Americentric way of thinking. A good example of this was the recent wildfires in California. There were many people that were looking at this saying, oh my God, this is fire and brimstone. This is trial and tribulation. This is the fire of hell. The end times are here. And it wasn't anything like that, folks. It was just a fire in Northern California. In fact, even if the entire United States was on fire, it would still simply be the United States on fire. It would not be hellfire and brimstone for the entire world. That's the problem. When anything happens to the United States assumes that it is happening to the entire world. And unfortunately, many people within the United States have been programmed into the Christian mindset where they will simply sit there and allow their country to be destroyed around them because they view their country as being the entire world. And they think that the world must be destroyed because it is in the book, and the book says that this must happen. So they're going to sit back and allow their country to be destroyed around them. And unfortunately, many of them actually want it to happen because unfortunately, many Christians want the end times. They want to see death and destruction. They want to see fire and brimstone because they believe it will signify the return of their Savior. And so they will sit there and they will allow their country to be destroyed, which is exactly why they've been programmed into this mindset. That's why America has been programmed to have this fervent Christian mentality and to always be sitting there waiting for the end times. All incidentally ignoring the words of Jesus, if you actually read the Bible, he didn't say any of this. What they're really concentrating on is Revelation. And not the words of the Christ they pertain to follow, who showed them the path which would lead them to safety if they were only to walk it. But they don't. They concentrate on what the church and the priests have told them, and they sit there and they wait for the world to be destroyed around them. And they view America as being the beast that must be destroyed anyway, and so many of them will simply sit there and allow their country to be destroyed. As will many of the Christians in the rest of the world because they also perceive America in this way. And so they will also sit there and watch America be destroyed and view it as all being okay because they believe it signifies the return of their Savior. And look, I hope I don't offend any Christians by saying that, but it's true because the American mindset is so Americentric that they believe everything that happens in America is really what's happening in the world. And the rest of the world kind of sits back and looks at America, and it's almost like Disneyland. It's like a circus. It's like this incredible mishmash of confusion, and nobody really knows what's going on. It sort of portrays itself as this huge, powerful force. And militarily, yes, it is. But the inner workings of the place, it's like a circus. It isn't like any other country that you can ever visit. And people within America have a very Americentric mindset. And because they expect the end of the world to come, they're going to simply sit back and perceive the destruction of America as being the end times and the destruction of the world. But really, it's just America. And not even America, but specifically the United States. And all of this is the result of programming, and I think it's imperative that the people of the United States see how they're being played with this, because they really do need to stand up and take account of things and figure out how they're being played through all this, because they really are. They're being programmed to allow their country to be destroyed around them. And they promote it in every way they can as well. Even with the music industry, they're always promoting it. Recently, there was a music event and there was a woman dressed as fire riding a beast down the catwalk. And of course, the Christians latched onto this saying, well, here it is. They're showing you the woman and the beast, everything that's in Revelation. And they do this because it makes it acceptable. They portray America as being the beast of Babylon, because that way people expect America to be destroyed and they will sit back and allow America to be destroyed. And there's a reason they want to destroy America, folks, because America really is the last bastion of freedom that we have. And you may not feel like that if you live in America, but if you get out and travel around the world a little bit, when you're talking about the global police state, a lot of people think, well, this is getting really bad in the United States. And sure, it is getting bad in the United States, but it's getting far worse everywhere else. If you really want to see a police state, go to Australia, go to England, go to Europe. You don't see too many police officers walking around in black Kevlar carrying machine guns just in your everyday city surroundings in the United States. You do see that in Australia. You do see it in Europe. You do see it in England. But in the United States, there is still a modicum of freedom. There is a lot of bad stuff, sure, but there is a modicum of freedom. There is still a general feeling of freedom in the air, and there is still the ability for the people to stand up against this system and regain control of their government. That's not really possible in too many other countries, because pretty well everybody else has been disarmed or programmed into not fighting back. Americans still have a little bit of backbone, and they still have a little bit of spirit, and they still have the willingness to fight back and stand up for themselves if they could just be rallied together and convinced to do so. And they could do so in quite a non-violent fashion, but unfortunately many of them are sitting back and waiting for the end times, because that's what their programming dictates, and that's why we see all these events. That's why we see so much mayhem in the United States, so many staged events, so many staged shootings, like the recent incident in Las Vegas. I actually rubbed a few feathers the wrong way, apparently, with my radio show last week when I covered the Las Vegas shootings and the fires in Northern California, which very much looked like they were created using directed energy weapons. I covered this on the show last week and created an accompanying YouTube clip to go with it, and YouTube apparently didn't like it and they deleted my video for harassment and bullying. And it was quite interesting the way they went about it. They first put a copyright strike on me for the video, and they put the time signature as the moment when I was actually doing the opening quote, and they put an audio and video copyright strike on me for that particular section. I suspect they did so knowing I would challenge it, because it was just my voice. And when I did challenge it, they would not accept the challenge, and they said I needed to provide them with ID. They wanted to know all about me and who I was before I was able to push the dispute any further. And when I didn't come through and give them any photo ID, they simply claimed the clip was bullying and harassment, and they deleted the video. But it really appears that they went about all of that because they really wanted to find out exactly who I am. Because they've never been able to find that out, because I've never monetized my account, I've never hooked it up to my bank account, I've never accepted their offers of partnership, I've never played their game at all. They've let me continue doing what I do, they just delete subscribers regularly, and they still delete subscribers regularly. Someone told me the other day they still have to subscribe to my channel almost every day. But it really did seem like an attempt at data mining. That seemed to be the only reason they put a copyright strike against my video. And I would suggest it was also one of the contributing factors as to why they blocked it. Apart, of course, from the information that was contained in the video. I did manage to get it uploaded to BitChute, and I did manage to get it uploaded to Fascist Book as well. The name of the show was Covert Weapons, Quiet Wars, so if you go and search on BitChute, you should find a copy of that. But yes, apparently YouTube did not like it very much, so I find that to be particularly interesting. They are certainly doing everything they can to censor the truth, ladies and gentlemen. And there are so many things wrong with the Vegas shooting and so many things wrong with the fires in Northern California that this has really created quite a problem for the powers that believe they be. They are quite sloppy with this event, especially the Vegas shooting. They are very, very sloppy with that. So many people can see through it. So many people realize that the official story is a complete crock, and it really has gone a long way to getting people to turn their eyes towards government a little bit. And as I pointed out last week, I see the Vegas shooting as a huge opportunity for the independent media and for the truth movement to point out the discrepancies in the official story to people if they could just stop locking themselves into belief systems and arguing with people who disagree about details of the event, because ultimately nobody knows the real details. Nobody knows what happened. And the government has worked so hard to make sure that it's confusing. They've made sure to put crisis actors in strategic positions, and they've made sure to make it as confusing as they possibly can just to keep the independent media arguing and squabbling amongst themselves rather than looking at the opportunity that it provides by simply pointing out the fact that everything the government said is wrong without trying to say, well, this is what happened, because they don't know. What they need to point out is what didn't happen, and what didn't happen is what the government said, and that should be obvious to everybody. So I think if we could get a little bit of focus there, we'd probably get somewhere with this event. But if the independent media does not stop squabbling about details and claiming fact on things they have no idea about, it's just going to turn into the same as what the 9/11 truth movement turned into. And really, it already has. And it's unfortunate that these events always seem to go down that way. And I think it's imperative that people stop jumping to conclusions immediately that these events happen, and figure out a more coherent way of approaching them, a more coherent way of presenting them to the sleeping masses. Because many of these events are waking up the sleeping masses. I mean, even the global situation itself is working to awaken the sleeping masses, because there's so much theatre at play at the moment, and it's so obvious that so much of it is theatre. You know, look at what's been going on with Russia and Putin in the last few years. There's been a huge propaganda campaign to present Putin as the savior, to present him as the only sane politician in the world. And admittedly, he has been making some quite powerful statements. He has presented himself as being possibly the only real statesman in politics in the world today. He said a lot of good stuff, but he's not the savior of mankind. He's not going to come and fix things. Look what he's done in Syria. I mean, he didn't stop the war of terror in Syria. Certainly, he slowed it down. He drew a line in the sand, but what was that all really about as well? And what is this new relationship that Putin seems to have with Benjamin Netanyahu? You know, if Putin really wanted to heal things, if he really wanted to stop the war of terror, he could heal the situation in Palestine immediately and take Benjamin Netanyahu to The Hague and have him tried for the numerous crimes the man has committed. Why don't we see Putin doing this? You know, the whole thing has been a setup. It really has. And even with Putin, a lot of the people in the independent media have viewed this man as the white knight riding in on the white charger who's going to save everything. And really, it's just all part of the same play. Putin's a player, the way Trump is a player, the way they're all players, ladies and gentlemen. All of it is theatre. None of the countries are really suggesting that they're going to have a real war with each other, and even if they do, they'll just bomb the people anyway. All of it is being done to bring about an agenda, and it's all leading towards the same goal. It's all leading towards one global system with what will essentially be three world trade blocks. Much like what was described actually by George Orwell in his book 1984, when he talked about the world being split into three major trade blocks of Eurasia, Asia Communista, and Oceania. That's basically what we're seeing, ladies and gentlemen. But the takeover of the United States has to be done in a very, very subtle way. You can't just have a civil war. You need to reduce it to economic ruin and then have other countries come in to help it, and other countries come in to bring their industry here to help the United States. And of course, slowly introduce things such as the Chinese work ethic. That's the direction it will go. It won't be any type of a obvious coup d'etat. It will be a gradual shift into a new way of doing things, a new world where everything is ordered. And couple all this with the 5G smart grid, and you've got a pretty comprehensive lockdown for most of humanity. All of the countries that are online anyway, all of the countries that are online and are using the tech, and it will be fast moving towards the third world as well. That's the way they want to take it, ladies and gentlemen, and that is the way it's going. And it's really imperative that people see this and take the necessary steps to nip this in the bud before it is completed. And something that people need to look into to understand this a little bit is the new trade agreements that are happening between China, Russia, and Israel, and where all this is leading. There's actually a very good report that was put out by Brendan O'Connell a couple of weeks ago called The Vegas Shooting in Context, The Grand Scheme of Things. And you'll find a link to that video in the headlines on thecrowhouse.com, or you can just go onto YouTube and search for the title. And whatever you may think of Brendan O'Connell, admittedly he's a bit of a wild card, but whatever you may think of him, this is some pretty compelling information that is presented in this 15-minute video clip that he put out, where he discusses this trade block arrangement and this trade deal that's being set up between Russia, China, and Israel, and discusses the One Belt, One Road, which is basically the new Silk Road, which is happening in the background while most people are distracted. And also confirms a lot of the stuff that I've been saying for years about why Israel is such a strategically valuable place, because if you control Israel, you control the Suez Canal, and by controlling the Suez Canal, you effectively control the Straits of Aden. You also control the Straits of Gibraltar, because all of it has to flow through the Suez Canal. Israel is, in fact, one of the most strategically advantageous places in the world to be in regard to trade and also in regard to oil. And that is why it is such a coveted piece of land. That is why the Khazars that have usurped power there are so intent on keeping power there, and why they are so intent on promoting the idea right around the world that you must not criticize Israel, you must not criticize the Jews for any reason, and are taking steps to virtually criminalize any criticism of Israel or Jews, precisely because this is the criminal cabal, this is the criminal mafia that is working behind the scenes, that is running the whole show. This is who is running America, this is who is running or influencing the governing of Europe, this is who is running the War of Terror, this is who is running England, and of course this is who is running the global banking system, which is basically what is running the whole show, the control of money, because by controlling money you are able to control the flow of resources, you are able to marginalize any country you want, and you are able to buy any government that you want. And all this is theater, and it's all run by the same people, and it's all been run for a specific reason, ladies and gentlemen. It really has. America was created to do exactly what it's done, and now it is being imploded, but it's being done strategically so that the people don't really notice what's going on around them. And as I said, those that are noticing the country imploding around them are allowing it to happen because they think it is the end times, because that is what their programming dictates. And it's very sad. It's very sad because we still can change things around. We still can't pull ourselves out of this mess if we can rally the people enough to pay attention. The problem is people don't want to pay attention, and I've probably offended so many Christians with what I've said today simply by looking at it objectively. And it was never my intention to do so, because I believe the Christians could be a powerful force if they were to actually stand up and walk the path of Christ. And the problem is they've been taught that they're not worthy, they're not good enough, they can never do anything to change anything, and they just must sit and wait to be saved. And that's the program, that's the problem, and that is not what Christ told them. And it's a Christian nation, there's a lot of people here who could make a difference if they simply stood up and refused to comply with corruption anymore, refused to tolerate evil, and refused to believe that they belong to anything which is so beastly as what it is being presented. You know, America has done a lot of bad stuff, it's degraded to a very bad point morally, in all sorts of ways it has. But all of this has been influenced by external sources, mainly by Israel. And that's just a sad fact, it has. But even with that, you know, the Christians in America are taught that they must support Israel because it says so in the Bible. But it also says in the Bible that Israel will be usurped by people who are not Jews, who pretend to be Jews, who are actually the synagogue of Satan. I think many Christians need to look at that as well, because were they to remove the influence of these people over their government, they would find that they could enter a time of prosperity. Indeed, the entire world could enter a time of prosperity. Now, we don't have to fight these wars. We don't have to do any of the stuff that we're doing. We don't need to allow people with psychopathic tendencies, such as those who govern the state of Israel, to micromanage other nations the way they do. Because that's what they do, and they are psychopaths, ladies and gentlemen. Pure and simple. Now, you don't do the things that this country has done. You don't do the things that these people do. You don't follow the guidelines of books such as the Talmud without being a psychopath. It's quite simple. And many people may see this as some sort of an anti-Semitic rant, but it's really not. It's an anti-psychopath rant. It really is. You know, there are good aspects in all religion. There really are, but there are bad aspects in all religion as well. And there are some really terrible aspects in the Jewish system. And these aspects are what have reduced the world to the state that it is today. I mean, the mere fact that a race of people would lie about 6 million people dying and do the things that they've done as a result shows clearly psychopathic tendencies. I don't know how you can look at it any other way. And admittedly, a lot of the Jewish people have been trained to believe this. They're not ones telling the lies. They sincerely believe it. But the fact is that the whole thing has been built on a lie. And the world is changing because of that lie. Because these people have managed to gain an inordinate amount of influence in most countries, pretty well all countries on earth, all the powerful ones anyway, and they have led the world to the position that it's now in. And it is these people that have also been very instrumental in bringing this whole smart grid online. This whole 5G system, this whole Internet of Things, all of this comes from the same people, the Palantir software, the whole worldwide surveillance grid that is coming online. It all comes from the same source. And all of it continues to roll out simply because we continue to participate in it. So I think it's important that we identify the problem and we remove our support from this system, ladies and gentlemen. And while we still have the time, I really do. But I think we've reached break time here, folks, so we better go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company. And I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Don't go away. Welcome back to the show, folks. Yeah, so there's so much theatre going on at the moment. There are so many games in play, so many pieces in play. But behind it all, underneath it all, is, again, the 5G grid, which is rolling out, the smart grid, and this situation that Brendan O'Connell has alerted us to, the One Belt, One Road, which explains exactly why we have seen so much shoulder rubbing and handshaking going on between Russia and Israel, between Bibi and Putin. And really 10 points to Brendan for releasing that clip because it explains it all. It really does. And you can see why America has been hung out to dry the way it has, why America has been reduced to the dilapidated mess that it is today. And it really is quite dilapidated. Everything in America is thrown together, slapped together. And the whole place is incredibly disorganized compared to other countries. You know, just coming here and looking at it, it looks as though the place has been built for a purposeful implosion to follow. And as I said, of course, this will provide the excuse to rebuild, only it will be rebuilt in a new manner. And when you look at the structure of the new world that is coming online, don't think war, think commerce and surveillance. Because that's what it's all going to be based on, commerce and surveillance. Israel, of course, will be the savior in many of these situations. Israel will be the savior of Europe. Israel will be the savior of all the deals that are happening and the new Silk Road that's being built with all the technology Israel has. When the real fact of the matter is that all of this technology has been stolen from not only America, but from all over the world through Israel's Talpiot program and through the back doors that Israel places in all the software that it releases. And all of the aid that it gives to foreign nations will all have back doors in it. All the software that is given to all these nations will all have back doors. All will lead to Israel. All will funnel more and more power to the hand that controls the state of Israel, which again is the British influences, the Rothschilds, the same people. We know who it is, folks. It's the same cabal that's been running things for time immemorial, and they're continuing to do so. They're just using different countries as different mechanisms in order to restructure the world into the new commercial system that they want to bring online. And as I said, it will all be a smart system. It will be based in commerce, and it will be based in digital transactions. And every single transaction and every movement of everybody will be surveilled. That's where we're going. That's where we're going, but we do have an opportunity to change it. And I keep stressing this to people because we seriously do have an opportunity, because ultimately, folks, it's just people and we are people too, and we don't need to have these criminals continuing to run the world. We could remove them from power quite easily by simply identifying the fact that they exist, identifying the fact that the world is run by a criminal kakistocracy. Our elected officials are not doing what we elect them to do, and we don't have to do what they say. And this is the same message I know that I've been saying for years, but that's how we change things, folks, by realizing that this is what's going on and actually standing up for ourselves, growing some sort of a backbone, and refusing to pander to the rules that these criminals put in place. But again, this is only going to be achieved if we develop enough respect for each other to allow each other to think differently and stand up together. And I know I keep saying that, I've probably said it a million times on this radio show, but I keep repeating it because it is the way out. And if people can't see that, well, there's not much hope for us. There really isn't. And it doesn't matter what movement that you're in, doesn't matter what your beliefs are. If you haven't got the support of the people around you and you're going to stand up and attempt to take this system on your own, then you're going to fail. And if you're going to throw the people around you away simply because they believe in different things than you do, then you've just thrown away your greatest asset. And I don't know what it's going to take for people to realize the truth of this, but it is a very profound truth. And as I've said many times, if you really want to be an activist and you really want to fight against this system, what you need to understand completely is that the greatest tool they use against all of us is division. So put your belief systems aside, allow others to think differently to you, and gain some respect for each other, and let's all stand up together and call this system out. Now, there are good things happening. There is things such as the Empower Movement, and again, I don't expect to see any real legal remedy from the Empower Movement, but hopefully it will empower the people who get involved in it. Hopefully it will empower people to stand up for themselves, and I get sent reports of good things that are apparently happening. But they're always the same reports that I get sent. They're always things that are imminent. There's always big changes on the horizon from mysterious forces that are working behind the scenes in our favor that are going to arrest the whole cabal and all sorts of stuff that I get told all the time. Stuff that I've been told back since 1976. I've been hearing reports about this sort of stuff. A lot of people write to me and they ask me what I think about disclosure and all of this sort of stuff as well. You know, ET disclosure and all this sort of thing. Folks, I've been hearing about ET disclosure since 1976, the same as everything else. And a lot of people ask me why don't I talk about things like ETs. Well, it's because I don't know anything about ETs, ladies and gentlemen. I've never met one. Do they exist? I have no idea at all. And I'm not going to go via hearsay, I'm just going to go by what I've experienced myself. I've often explained to people I have seen UFOs in the sky, I have seen flying craft which were not identifiable, so therefore it was an unidentified flying object, so therefore it was a UFO by default. The question is, who drives it? Who was powering the thing? Where was it going? Where did it come from? Those questions I cannot answer. But what I do know is that sometimes there are mysterious things that are seen in the sky. Are they ETs? Are they multidimensional? Do they come from some other place on Earth that we don't know about? I have absolutely no idea where they come from. And that's why I don't really discuss the topic. But I've been hearing about imminent disclosure. I've been hearing about mysterious financial forces working behind the scenes. I've been hearing about white knights. I've been hearing about all sorts of stuff to keep us on the edge of our seat, to make us believe that there is someone coming to save us, and we don't actually have to do anything ourselves. I hear so much of this, and I have to tell you, folks, that I simply don't believe any of it anymore. I really don't. I mean, when people send me this sort of information, I look at it and I try to find something positive in it. I try to find something to look forward to. I try to see if it's something that I can believe in, something that's going to work, but none of it seems viable to me. And none of it seems like it's actually going to lead us anywhere. It just seems like it's going to lead us to another point that isn't going to be where we want to be. And I don't know what it's going to take for people to understand that they don't really need anyone to lead them to safety. All they need to do is to understand that they're the ones that hold the system up. You know, we hold it up through our tolerance of wrong behavior, through our willingness to do what people write down on paper rather than doing what is right. That's the problem. That's why the world is in the mess that it's in. Because we just do what we're told, and we don't question it. Admittedly, there's thugs there in Kevlar that threaten to put us in cages if we don't. But again, this comes down to the fact that we don't respect each other enough to have a united community to be able to stand up against this government system. Now, if we could just put down our differences with each other, we could change the world in a day. And it may sound weird to people. You couldn't possibly change the world in a day, but you could if everybody changed their attitude. Of course, nobody's really going to do that in a day, so, well, it's not going to work. But spreading that message and promoting that concept to people has got to lead somewhere. I mean, it's got to help people at least get along a little better. And if people were able to get along a little better, then we wouldn't need government. That's the whole point. That's why they promote all the division. That's why they promote the division between nations as well, because without a foreign enemy threatening your shores, you don't need government. If there isn't a threat, you don't need someone to look after you. It's as simple as that. And that's why government creates all these problems, and they play each other off against each other, and they pretend that they're a threat to each other so that the people think they need the government to look after them. But it's all one big play. Theatre for the masses. Works very well, and they've been doing it for decades. They've been doing it for centuries, in fact. This is the way government has always run things. False flag terrorism and the installation of fear into the minds of the populace. It's a tried and true method. It achieves wonders, and it is a tool that government has used since time immemorial and continues to use today. And the thing is, folks, that there are many people today in the mainstream, many people in general society who are waking up to the fact that government is still using these tactics against their own populace. This is what the Las Vegas shooting has done. There's people that I know that I'm staying here with in the hills of LA. One man in particular, his brother was actually at the event, and he saw what really happened. Regardless of what anybody says, this man says that there were real shooters, there were real victims. He said he saw a row of people fall right in front of him, and being a paramedic, he helped them. He was carrying people out to his truck, and he was about to flee the area, and he thought, well, hang on, this is what I'm trained to do. I can't flee the area. I need to go back and help people. And he did. And he is convinced that there were multiple shooters. He's not open to conspiracy theories normally. He's not open to any concept that there were no victims, because he says he carried them to the truck, his own truck, and he took them to hospital himself. But he's definitely open to questioning the official line, and so is everybody that he knows. And this is a mainstream person who does not delve into conspiracy theories. You know, whoever staged the event at the Mandalay Hotel, whether it was Mossad, most likely Mossad, I would say, but whoever staged it, Mossad, CIA, elements within all of them, they were very, very sloppy about it. And it has woken a lot of people up. And that's why I think there's been so many polarized responses to it, because this has got to be portrayed as an outrageous conspiracy theory, the concept that there may have been anything other than what the government said. It's got to be embellished and enhanced to the point to make it completely unbelievable. This is a classic COINTEL tactic, ladies and gentlemen. They'll get real information and they will add to it and they will embellish it to the point that it becomes unbelievable, so everybody throws the baby out with the bathwater. It is a common ploy. It is the most effective way to convince people to look the other direction from real information. So you've got to be really careful how you're being played with this event. But if we play our cards right in the alternative media, we can use this event to wake up massive amounts of people, because there's so much wrong with the official line. It's as simple as that. That's why I get so frustrated with people making claims and saying they know exactly what happened when they don't, because they weren't there. And yet they won't listen to people who were there, such as the person that I was just referring to, simply because what this man says contradicts with the belief system that they've adopted. This doesn't help matters. This is not research. This is not investigation. It's not uniting the people against the perpetrators of the crime. It's simply arguing over the details and making accusations against anybody who thinks differently, and it doesn't get us anywhere. And there's so much of this in the independent media. We need to put it all aside, ladies and gentlemen. We really do. And we need to seize these opportunities that are given to us. You know, the world's heading for a really bad place. No matter how much of a positive slant you attempt to put on it, it's not heading for a good place. It could be heading for a good place were we to gain some control over what we're doing, but we've got to stop looking for the answers externally. You know, because the answers are internal. It's up to us changing our attitude towards the people around us. That's the only way the world is going to change. The people around us, including the governments, including the leaders, including those self-styled leaders, including the kakistocracy, including everybody. Change the way you deal with people. Change the way you deal with this world. I mean, it's about the journey that you're on, and everybody is really on the same journey, but we're so caught up in squabbling over the details or climbing over each other to reach the top of the social pole that it just gets us nowhere. And that's the biggest problem that we face. And so much of it is contrived. So much of it is programmed into us. And we have to step above it. We really have to step above all of this, ladies and gentlemen. It's the only way out. It really is the only way out. And we're in such a time of opportunity at the moment. I really hope people can just step back and look at things this way for a little while and see the sense in what I'm saying. And I don't have an agenda here, folks. I'm not trying to lead you anywhere. I'm not trying to blind you to any situations. I'm not trying to disempower you. I'm not trying to lead you away from whatever faith you may have. I'm simply offering you a perspective. And I think it's a viable perspective. You know, I've been looking at this for a long time, and to me the problem has always been the disunited state of humanity and our willingness to throw each other under the bus for our belief systems. And if we can get over that little hump, I think we'd be able to solve everything. And this is something that I've witnessed since childhood, and this is something that I've always referred to as one-upmanship, social and economic one-upmanship. And that's what everybody seems to indulge in, and it's been an endless source of frustration for me ever since I was old enough to think clearly. And if you want to know who the agents are, folks, and you want to know who are the ones with an agenda, you want to know who the COINTEL operatives are, they're the ones that are calling out division against everybody else. They're the ones that are calling out distrust against people. They're the ones that are saying you should just believe them and just follow them and just follow their path and don't listen to the other guys. They're the ones who have tried to convince you to lock yourself into a belief system, the ones that have told you not to look at other research. I think you should look at everything, folks. Look at everything. Research everything. Believe nothing. That's the most constructive way to do anything. That's what I've done through my whole life. I've looked at everything and I've believed nothing. All of it's possible. So much of it is possible. But what do I believe? What I believe is what I can understand and figure out myself. What I believe is the vessel that I inhabit. What I believe is the experiences that I've had, the things that I've experienced for myself, not stuff that's learnt by rote. And I don't even really like listening to other people's descriptions of things, because that will cause me to judge that particular thing when it happens in my life by someone else's description of it. You do something like have an ayahuasca experience, you want someone to tell you what it's like. Well, I don't want anyone to tell me what it's like, because it will affect my experience. It's the same with anything. If I'm going to explore something new, I want it to be something new. I mean, it's nice to know what people think about things, for sure, but don't think you're learning by rote. Don't think you're learning from their experience. All they're doing is conveying their perspective to you. You're really only going to learn by your own experience. So you should consider all things, but believe nothing that you cannot prove for yourself, nothing that you haven't experienced for yourself. And that might seem a little out there to people, and I'm sure there's going to be people out there listening who are going to take it to the extreme and say, oh, now he's saying you shouldn't listen to anybody and you shouldn't read books or whatever. I mean, you know, people are going to take things the way they take them. But just try to listen to the words that I used and to comprehend what I actually said. I mean, sure, it's good to look at all of this experience. It's great. I mean, I read books. I listen to other people's experience all the time. But I don't take it on as true. I don't take anything on as true that I cannot prove for myself, nothing that I haven't experienced for myself. I don't do beliefs. A lot of people have a problem with this as well. You know, I'll be like Max, don't believe anything and remain neutral and don't do anything. And if they say that sort of stuff, well, they obviously haven't listened to the message again. These are preformed opinions. It's not what I'm saying at all. You know, what I'm saying is that if you lock yourself into a belief system, if you've already got a foregone conclusion when somebody starts telling you something, then what's the point in listening anyway? So why lock yourself into a belief system? You haven't gone through the entire journey of life yet. For all you know, you've experienced 5% of reality. How do you know what's outside the box? And if you lock yourself into a belief system halfway through the journey, then you're never going to be able to look outside the box, because you're not going to allow yourself to, because it will contravene your belief system. It will conflict with what you already think reality to be, and so you won't be prepared to consider anything else. And it's the same with the situation that we're in. And a lot of people look at it and they see the mechanism of the matrix, the whole political and economic and social and legal system, and they think it's real, and they're not prepared to look outside it because that's all their reality is. They don't ever see themselves as where they relate to in creation, where they relate to in reality. They don't ever see themselves as an artistic expression of creation, you know, a thought in the mind of God, and think what they could do with that experience. They don't do that very often because they simply don't have time to, but even when they do have time to, they're not prepared to go in that direction. They don't ever really want to look within. They don't really want to see that as a source of salvation for them, or a source of salvation or solving any of their problems. They always look externally. They think that there's a problem in their life, there's a problem here, there's a problem there. They can go and ask somebody else. They can go and petition someone, they can vote someone in, or they can go and buy a pill or get a new product somewhere that will fix things. They don't ever really look within themselves and look at what has brought the world to this place and realize how easy it would be to fix it by simply changing their attitude. Changing their attitude towards people. You know, getting out of this superficial reality that we live in. You ever notice just how superficial it is? It is. It's incredibly superficial. Everything we do, all of these little goals that we often chase, are so meaningless. And they're very often external goals. They're very often little achievements, little milestones in the business world or the social world or whatever it is. It's never anything that's really to do with us. And again, it's very much a program, and so much of it is distraction. You know, so much of what we do in our lives is just there to distract us, there to keep us busy. A lot of what all this political rhetoric and war and theatre and all the left-right paradigm and the marches in the street and each movement, what do you want to join, who do you want to protest, what do you want to stand up for, social justice warriors, the whole lot. They give you all sorts of avenues to go down. All of it is just one big distraction, one big exercise of going out and banging your head against some particular wall. None of it ever really gets anywhere. It's just all designed to put us against each other to find out what little social issue you've got to amplify that, to make it external and to get you to project it so that you'll not be involved in your life and not be involved in any of the real human experience that is happening underneath everything, that is so buried underneath everything. And admittedly, most of the people listening to this broadcast are not in this sort of a trap, but again, we often fall into it sometimes, even I fall into it sometimes. We fall into these little social traps that are set for us. And when you step back and look at society, this is generally how society functions. And it's a very, very effective way of people farming, a very effective way of pitting people against each other and keeping them from really looking at the controlling hand that exists above them. You know, we continually shout each other down. Any idea anybody puts forth, we continually shout it down. And all it takes is for one person to put that seed of doubt in someone else's mind, and then it all goes astray. You know, someone has an idea, they shout it out, and then someone else looks at it and goes, well, what about this? And then all the other people who would have rallied into it start saying, oh, yeah, well, he's right, there may be problems, and then everyone starts arguing about it, and then nothing gets done. That's the way it works, and it's a program. You know, we often won't allow other people to excel. We won't accept anybody having an idea that isn't our own as actually being viable. And we don't listen to our heart in all of this. You know, we get stuck in our head. We want to analyze everything rather than simply putting something in motion and going with the flow. And I guess I'm being wildly speculative and wildly philosophical here, but, you know, well, I know what I'm saying, even if you can't figure it out, although I'm sure many of you can. Suffice to say, folks, all of this, I believe, is a spiritual test. Everything that we're facing, I think, is a spiritual test. Our failure to stand up for ourselves is a spiritual test. Our willingness to have allowed the world to degrade to the point that it has, it's all been a spiritual test. It's been our failure to pass that test, incidentally, up to this point. It really has. You know, what's happened to the education system, that we've allowed our government to do this? This is a failure of a spiritual test as well. The transgenderism, like, it's gotten that bad, folks. We've let the education system degrade to the point that now they're even teaching our kids sex education, you know, to six-year-olds and promoting gender transition to six-year-olds. That's how bad our education system has got. And all of this is a failure of the spiritual test that we are undergoing. You could really look at this whole experience of life here on earth as being one big spiritual test. What if that's what it's really all about? You know, what if we come here to discover whether we are actually worth entering the gates at the end. What if it isn't heaven that you enter at the end? What if it's actually the place you're supposed to be, and that this is simply the testing ground to see whether you are worth your weight, whether you have the metal, whether you have what it takes, whether you're the type of energy, the type of mentality, the type of consciousness that is allowed to enter that sort of a place, to commune with whatever it is that lies beyond this experience. You know, if this is a place where you come to grow your soul, where you come to run what is essentially an exam. You don't know that you're in an exam. You don't know you're being tested. You come here, you think you're having all these secret little thoughts. You think that nothing's hidden, but really it's all being recorded. It's all being tracked. It's all being analyzed. It's all being subject to rigorous examination, and it will all be used to discover the true you and to reveal the true you. What if that's what this is about? To discover whether someone has a good soul or a bad soul, you put them into a grand amnesiac experiment where they think they can get away with stuff because they're the only ones who saw them do it. But really, it's not like that. Really, everybody saw them do it. Really, it's on display for all. Really, it's an exam that they're running, and they're going to have to stand up there and go through the whole thing with everybody and watch the whole movie with everyone looking on, and then they're going to reveal their true self to everybody and to themselves. There's going to be nothing to hide, and anything that they thought they were hiding, well, it's not really happening that way. It wasn't hidden at all. It was all just part of the test, and it was all part of the plan. Interesting way of looking at things. What if this is a simulation and that's what we came here to do? Interesting concept. Is it true? Who knows? It's an interesting thought, though. That's the thing with this sort of stuff, folks. You've got to be able to look at all of this stuff and take on anything as being likely possible without taking on the belief that it is actually true. Consider everything. Believe nothing. It's always worked for me, anyway. It's always done wonders for me, and it's always led to new doorways opening. Well, we're getting to that point again where we're getting very close to the end of this week's broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm not going to be able to bring you a broadcast next week because I'm going to be traveling. I'm pretty well going to be on the road from Wednesday until Friday, and I'm going to be exhausted when I get to my destination and simply am not going to have time to bring you one. And I'm actually not sure whether I'm going to be able to do a radio broadcast the following week either, because I'm going to be serving Cambo all week. So I'll just have to see how that goes. But I will bring you another broadcast definitely sometime after the 10th of November when the Cambo ceremonies are over. I'll just have to play it by ear until then. I won't really know until I get there. I'm not sure what sort of an internet connection I'm going to have. There may be a couple of interviews that I have between now and then, so I may be able to bring those to you, but I'm not sure whether I'll be able to do any broadcasts of Surviving the Matrix for the next 2 weeks. There definitely won't be one next week, and we'll just have to see how we go the week after. Again, I'm speaking at the Anacapulco conference in Mexico next year in February. If you'd like to go to that, you'll find a link to that on my website. And if you buy a ticket to go to Anacapulco and use the coupon The Crow House, you'll get a discount on that ticket. And that's always worthwhile, and that helps me out as well. And thank you to all those who continue to support the Patreon account. Again, you are the most valuable people in my life. You really are, because you're the only people who keep me going. I couldn't do any of this were it not for those who support the Patreon account, because you are the ones who get me through and allow me to eat and to be able to continue this research and bring this information to you. If it wasn't for you people, I simply couldn't do it. So I cannot thank you enough. And I'm sure all of the other listeners, even the ones who cannot afford to donate themselves, do also thank you, because you are the ones that are keeping the show on the air. And I don't want to be small in saying that, because it is absolutely true. I cannot thank you enough. But that is it for me, ladies and gentlemen. I'll get back to you as soon as I'm able. Again, it will not be next week. It may be the week after, but may not be. But it will certainly be sometime after the 10th of November, if not before. But I'll be back when I can, and I'll look forward to speaking to you as soon as I'm able. But please do take very good care. Until then, in Lakesh, my friends, in Lakesh.